Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this Lord's Day, we turn to 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 14, reading through the end of the chapter. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. The weight of the gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income traders, and from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold, 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold, 3 minas of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, and on the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, 1 on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So Solomon surpassed all the kingdoms of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his presents, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules at a set rate year by year. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made the cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores that are in the lowland. Also, Solomon had horses imported from Egypt and Kiva. The king's merchants brought them in Kiva at the current price. Now a chariot was imported from Egypt, cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150, and thus, through their agents, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, may he add his blessing to it. As we consider God's Word this morning, we look at the riches which Solomon brings into the land of Israel. And as we look at those riches, perhaps today we might say, well, this is very opulent, this is perhaps Hollywood, this is very, very rich. And yet as we consider these things, we need to understand something. Solomon doesn't keep these things for himself. He certainly increases the wealth of the kingdom of Israel, and yet he makes silver as common in Jerusalem as the dust on the streets. And we have to understand that this is how working according to God's plan, according to God's will, using the things that God gives us, he blesses these things. He doesn't just leave us in the wind and say, well, okay, you know, you do what I call you to do, and well, you'll get something good if I really feel good that day. No, God is a very blessing God. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Notice the word will. He doesn't say maybe. And we're not looking here at trying to be as rich as Solomon, but God provides for his people. The psalmist says, I have been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging bread. If we are careful to put God first, the things of this world will be taken care of for us. And so Solomon utilizes the gifts which God had given to him. That's the theme that we want to see in God's Word this morning. Solomon utilizes the gifts which God had given to him. As we look at this, we'll first of all look at how he increased his wealth, and then we'll look at what use he made of that wealth. That Solomon did not hoard it, he used it for the blessing of the whole kingdom. So we start looking at the gold, first of all, in verse 14. The weight of the gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. He brought in much other gold besides the gold of Ophir, so much that it amounted to 666 talents. I think most of us will already jump to Revelation 13, verse 18, considering that this is a very ominous number. And yet at that same time, we see that he is receiving great amounts of gold, as we've said, the silver which was accounted for nothing, we read in verse 21. And so he received a great deal in customs from the merchants, and the land taxes from the countries his father had conquered, and they made pay tribute to Israel. He was Hiram's partner in a ship fleet from Tarshish, and they went out and came back every 3 years, not only with silver and gold and with ivory, but also with apes, with peacocks or monkeys, not sure what that word actually means there. And Solomon and his people gathered much out of this world from the ends of this world. And Solomon, sadly, I think we might say, and his people had perhaps become over-endowed with the prosperity which they had received, and had somewhat become childish, playing with apes and with monkeys and peacocks. They were worried about things instead of about God, and we'll see that as we continue looking at God's Word, the Lord willing, next week. And besides these things that he came through his labors and through the labors of the people of Israel, he had presents made for him every year from the neighboring princes and great men to engage his face to come before him and his friendship, not so much because they feared him or were jealous of him, as because they loved him and they wanted to hear from him. Notice how it's said here. I think that's very important. The earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold and garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules, at a set rate year by year. Solomon set a rate by which these kings could come and hear him. And so they came and they brought that which was required year by year in paying for that opportunity. Like perhaps we might pay today to receive a magazine or something like that. They had a subscription to Solomon to hear the wisdom which God had given to him. And besides that, then we read later on that he traded with Egypt for horses and for linen. Cotton is still something we look for. Egyptian cotton, both main exports of Egypt at the time. He had horses and chariots to export. His men traded with them from Egypt at Kiva and brought them at the current price and brought them then to export to the Hittites and the kings of Syria. Solomon was the center, really, of what was going on in that area of the world at that time. It's very amazing how much God gave him in abilities there. And yet, Solomon didn't just hoard it. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 19 tells us that it is a foolish to hoard the things that God gives us because we don't know who's going to eat from it if we hoard it for ourselves, because we're all going to die. God gave him the power not only to have wealth but also to eat, to partake of it. And certainly we start out here looking at the things which he made for his own enjoyment. 200 gold shields, 300 shields, all of which were not for battle, but were stately things to be carried before him. As in today's military, one might wear a sword, despite the fact that it would not be used for battle. Solomon had these gold shields made up to go with him. He had already laid up gold and silver and all of these things beyond measure for the temple of God. And we see that then he provides some for his own, for his kingdom and for his own state. He made a stately throne. Ivory overlaid with gold, the whole thing. It has lions beside him, reminding him that he is to be courageous in judgment and the truth. It was from this judgment seat that he would be able to give laws. He would be able to have an audience for the ambassadors for judgment of appeals that came to him. It was a very rich throne made from the things that he gathered out of the world. He also made all his drinking vessels, all of his furniture for his table, and even for his country palace were made out of pure gold, we read in verse 21. He made the wealth, though, that he had not just for himself. He used that wealth for the people of Israel. The kingdom was as rich as the king. He didn't separate his own interests from the interests of his people, but sought the enrichment of everyone. Solomon is in this a type of Christ, who is not only rich himself, but also enriches all that are his people. Verse 21 tells us that there was such plenty in all of Jerusalem that gold was like the stones and the cedars, which were at one time rare, as common as the sycamore trees down in the valley. And such is the nature of worldly wealth that plenty of it makes it the less valuable. Much more should the enjoyment of the spiritual riches which we have in Jesus Christ lower the value of our earthly possessions. If gold in abundance would make silver seem despised like rocks on the streets, shall not wisdom and the grace and the foretastes of heaven which God has given to us, which are far better than gold, make earthly wealth despised? And so Solomon exceeded all of the kings of the earth in wisdom and in riches at that time. Solomon had not asked for wealth or honor, but for wisdom and for an understanding heart. The more moderated our desires are toward the things of this earth, the better qualified we are for the enjoyment of them, and the more likely we are to have them. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He said that God will add all of these other things to you. We need to be serious about godliness, about putting God first. And all of these other things, as David says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need to be serious about serving the Lord. The greatness that is given to us in Jesus Christ is 1,000 times beyond, greater than the best of Solomon's greatness. And so ought not the things which even we read about in Solomon's riches, and perhaps we sit here today and say, wow, how rich he was. We need to realize the riches that we have as Christians, the riches of salvation, the riches of being the children of God. And so we need to understand how wondrous that was. Solomon was not able very easily to pass these things on, and indeed his son squandered them. And yet we have been given by the Son of God that which will never decay, will never fall apart. We have in Jesus Christ eternal life. We have eternal glory provided for us. So often people today get so worried about the riches we have as opposed to those in other countries. And certainly we do have great riches in this country currently, and we're squandering them as quickly as we can. We need to realize that as well. But as we consider those riches, they come from something. And what we need to bring to other countries is a biblical way of life, and that people not live from the top down, but that people serve the Lord, and that that provides for us riches not only on this earth, but eternal riches. We've often heard the idea of teaching a man to fish. Well, before we teach a man to fish, we need to teach a man why they fish. We need to teach a man to serve the Lord and to fish to the glory of the Lord. And then these other things fall into place. But if we're fishing only for ourselves, and so often we are in this country today, if we're serving ourselves with the things we have on this earth, then they fall apart, they corrode, and they bite us. Because that's what goes on with the things of this world when we serve them. They fall apart. They do not provide for us what we think we're going to gain from them. If we are serving the Lord, if the things of this earth are held loosely, God provides. If we hold them and hold on to them with a death grip, thinking, oh, I've got to have these things, then we are serving the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Read Romans 1. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the Internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS. Or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Animus in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.